Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of the man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Massive news coming out of Basketball Australia, Buddy. Andre Lemanis gone, Brett Brown, new head coach of the Australian Boomers.
Honestly, that is just the most brilliant move, the most ballsy move Basketball Australia has made in the time that I've been a journalist, which is four plus decades. I have never seen them make this sort of call. This is huge, and it is the right decision based on what we saw with the what I would call the second generation of Australian NBA players, the Ben Simmons, Jonah Boldens, those sorts of guys making themselves unavailable. You want them in the program. Brett Brown, coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, coach of the Boomers at the London Olympics, perfect choice.
Couldn't agree more. Now, here's the thing that's going to be interesting. There is some qualifiers that the Boomers still will need to play, even though they have qualified for the Olympics. What is interesting is then what's going to happen, because there's no way Brett Brown will be coaching those because he's going to be with Philadelphia. So my mail then goes, well, who will be doing that? My understanding could be Will Weaver.
Yeah, that also would be a very interesting situation, given that Andre brought Will Weaver into the program. And prior to that, I think Brett Brown had brought him into the program as well. Yeah. So, you know, if you know, in a perfect world, Andre Lemanis would accept the assistant coaching role behind Brett, which is where he came from in the first place. That was the scenario going back 7 years. And then he could continue his, say, taking care of qualifiers, Asia zone, all those sorts of games that they've got to play ahead of the next World Cup and ahead of the next Olympics, which, as you say, Brett Brown wouldn't be available for. Then you'd have
couldn't see it happening.
No,
couldn't
no,
see that happening.
No, I absolutely agree, given the circumstances. So if you're looking at a Will Weaver or an Adam Capehorn, you're maintaining that continuity. So I think this is, like I said, I'm more shocked, not that it's a bad decision. I think it's a good decision. I think it's a terrific decision, but that they made it. Because, I mean, if you go back just 3 years to the Rio Olympics, there was quite some concerns about the some of the selections on the women's team, on the Opals team, and BA did nothing, even though the basketball community knew there were girls on that team that shouldn't have been there. Opals go away, get a rubbish result, and suddenly maybe BA's got some balls now. It's amazing that it's got a female CEO and it's finally got balls.
Yeah, look, absolutely fantastic. Massive, massive news out of Basketball Australia. Well, Boddy, what about those Opals? That was a shock.
Was it, though, really? Because I think we should stop, in basketball terms, stop thinking about New Zealand as any sort of traditional rival. I think that's more a rugby league, rugby netball thing. And we should start looking at Japan as our Opals' major rival, because we're in the same region. They have beaten us, Brad, the last three times they've played us. They beat us 82-69 in this final game of the qualifiers. And then they had beaten us comfortably in the final of the Asia Cup, and they beat us in the final of the 2017 Asia Cup. Sorry, they didn't beat us in the final this year. This time around, it was in a semi-final. So basically, they have our number.
Yeah, look, you're not wrong, but I just thought, you know, to only score 69 points, they obviously had 82. I don't know what it was. I just thought they'd win this. I thought, you know, with Liz Cambridge coming back, obviously got ejected, but yeah. I just thought we would win this one. Honestly, that's how I felt.
I did too. I thought we picked a team to beat them this time around. I thought Liz's presence was going to be huge. But I think sometimes the players can also think that. The team can also think that, oh, we've got Liz, best player in the world, 6'8", they're not going to be able to handle her. All we've got to do is show up. Because in that first quarter and then the first half, they blew us off the floor with their three-point shooting. We know there were token hands up at times instead of real aggression defensively. And once they got their tails up, away they went. They had 11 out of 23 from the three-point line in the first half. And, you know, that set the table. And then, okay, we made a comeback in the last, and Liz was getting manhandled or womanhandled, as the case may be, and probably had cause to turn around and say, hey, what about the Ann one when she hit the shot that got us back to 64? But, you know, referees at that level, they've got a very, very, well, I don't, it's not zero tolerance, but it's not much more over zero. So she copped a tech. She's just got to be smarter than that, because when she left that game, our hopes went with her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question with that. Well, the good news is obviously we progress to the Olympic qualifying tournaments in February. So that's a good thing, but not so good for New Zealand. They lost and they're out of the qualifiers.
Yeah, that whole tournament was put on its head when Korea beat China in the opening game. That was just not an expected result. And so, yeah, China beat New Zealand as expected. And then New Zealand had to beat Korea by 12. They beat them by 4, so they missed out on the next stage of the Olympic qualifier. So they're out. They can't go to Tokyo. And that's a great shame because that is a program that is continually developing and coming along, the Tall Ferns. I feel very sorry for them. Highlight of the week.
Well, my highlight of the week was without a doubt the Sydney crowd. 17,514. I'm going to say that again, Boddy. 17,514. Now, just to put that into context, the last best was 17,143. Now, that was back when the Kudos Bank Arena, which was a different name back then. I can't remember what it was. That was when there. Now, I don't know if you call this. I'd like your opinion on that. It was at a double header. Or was the Razorbacks a curtain raiser to the Kings Canberra game? Whatever it is, that was a 17,000 game. And then there, I think there was a 15,500 game. That was the standalone game back in the Magic Tigers days. Yep. 17,514. Brilliant. That was my highlight of the week.
And a very good one too. And I think the fact that they've raised some $21,000, I think I read, towards bushfire relief, that in itself is also makes you proud to be involved in the basketball community, I think. For me, my highlight actually is not an odd one, perhaps, but I thought the NBL stepping in and telling New Zealand that they could not suit Glenn Rice for the game against Perth, I thought that was a ballsy thing to do, and I thought it was the correct thing to do. Now, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of whether Glenn Rice is guilty of what occurred in a pub in Auckland on Thursday. I mean, he was arrested, I believe, and allegedly charged with some sort of violence. Anyway, the point is I'm not interested in the incident. I'm interested in what a man who is a professional basketball player and come to Australia 10 days into his tenure here, he's in a pub at 2 a.m. in Auckland. That's what you want of your professional sports people. I think that's what should have made the New Zealand Breakers ears prick up and say, look, that's not acceptable behaviour. We're standing you down. And when they didn't do that because they went with, well, you're innocent until proven guilty, let's talk about the case, I think they missed the point. I think the NBL got the point and said, no, pro basketballers, pro sportsmen and women of any sort shouldn't be out at 2 a.m., you know, drinking. Simple as that.
Well, as much as I hate agreeing with you, I could not agree more. I was dumbfounded when I heard that he could play on Sunday. And then I know the NBL had to step in the front office and say, no way. And that is absolute a tick of approval to me from the NBL. You cannot have that. I love what they've done. And I could not agree with you more. That was a great highlight. And getting back to you saying that they've, you know, what's he doing out there at that time? I totally agree. Like, I mean, nothing. I remember there's Wayne Bennett. I know we talk basketball, but Wayne yep. Bennett always says nothing good happens after 12 a.m.
Yep.
And right. So great point.
Yep. Well, I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, my daughters, that if you don't put yourself in harm's way, harm won't bother to find you. Harm will have, you know, but if you put yourself in harm's way, guess what? And at 2 a.m., drinking at a pub in Auckland, that's putting yourself in harm's way, and that's not a way a professional athlete should be behaving.
Your poor daughters. Man, I'm actually picturing them going, oh, Dad, I don't need that from you. I do not. You could have just said, I don't want you going out, but no, you would have had to throw that slogan out there for sure, and you would have loved it too. Did you send it via email or put it on one of the podcasts? How did you do that?
I just said, and you know what? I've got two daughters, and one of them listened. WNBL wrap time.
Boddy, obviously we had a bye last week with the Opals games, but we've got some good games coming up. I'll run you through them and should be an interesting round, obviously. We start off with Sydney v Perth, Sydney at home. Personally, I can't see Perth losing that one. You?
Well, the thing is, if Sydney's going to be of any consequence this season, they've lost twice to Perth in Perth. This is one they have to win if they're going to be substantial in making any sort of run at the finals. And I'm with you. Perth is going to win that.
Adelaide versus Melbourne. This one intrigues me. Now, I'm really interested to know your thought on this. Obviously, you know the league extremely well, know Adelaide well. Your thoughts?
Look, I really liked Melbourne and the way the season had started. I thought, you know, the first two games they beat Bendigo, so I don't think any big deal about that. But then they knocked off Canberra really substantially, and they were looking the goods. They won their first four, dropped their last two. So I think this is a really interesting one. Adelaide has now conceded that Crystal Langhorne is not coming back, that the knee injury she suffered in that first game when she had a double-double, is she had to go home to the States to get surgery for it. They're bringing in a girl called Catherine Westbeld, who's a 188-centimetre big, who played with Breonna Turner, their other import, at Notre Dame, and was a member of the Notre Dame team that won the NCAA championship in 2018. Whether she plays on Friday night or not, the way the Lightning played last week against Bendigo, that should be, honestly, that should be put into some sort of time capsule for all time. It was brilliant, and I think Adelaide will win.
Yeah, I do as well. And it's interesting, the top four teams are starting to make a bit of a gap this early in the season. Of course, we've got the Flyers, Capitals, Boomers and Lightning all in that, but the Capitals, Boomers and Lightning have lost two games. Then you move down to Perth, who's got four games of loss. So this is an interesting one for me because the Boomers and Lightning playing with both with two losses. So I think that could have repercussions at the end of the season as well.
For sure.
Townsville versus the Flyers. I can't see anything but a Flyers win here after coming off a loss, mind you.
Yep, and it was a bad one too. Whooped by 19 by Canberra. That wasn't a close game. So they've got a point to make. They have to make it. They will make it in Townsville.
Yeah, I agree. Bendigo versus Melbourne. Bendigo have impressed me. I think, you know, they play the way they do and they do all right. But nah, can't see anything but a Melbourne win on that one.
Likewise, yeah, I thought Bendigo was really shown up here last week in the last round by Adelaide. They would be wanting to put in a much better performance than what they did here, but Melbourne, no, they're going to lose that.
Capitals, Perth, how much by the Capitals?
Yeah, exactly. I think we've finally seen Canberra back to what we expect of them as a defending champion. They're still going to get better too, so yeah, I think they'll handle Perth quite comfortably. It's NBL wrap time.
Well, the NBL has had a beautiful round just gone by, and there were some great games, obviously, capped off with the beautiful win by the beautiful crowd, but beautiful win by the Kings. I was very impressed the way they played, but it was one of those games where I was just amazed at the 17,000 crowd. We'll come to that because I'd love to get your opinion on it as well. But we started off the round with Perth beating Adelaide in Adelaide. Your thoughts, buddy?
Oh, yeah, look, that went pretty much as I expected. I think we actually pretty much got all of them right, except maybe...
Yeah.
I think you went for Adelaide in that one, and I went for the Phoenix to beat Adelaide in the other one, and Adelaide sort of. So we were both kind of out on Adelaide, but I didn't expect much else from that. I'm seeing the things in Adelaide's game now beginning where you can start to have a little bit of trust in them. I mean, you've got trust in Sydney, you've got trust in Perth, you've got trust in Melbourne United, but you don't trust Adelaide, you don't trust Brisbane, you don't trust New Zealand. And by trust, I mean you don't know what they're going to give you from week to week. There's no consistency. Phoenix had been pottering along quite nicely. I think they're now a little bit back into that pack now. So I think it's out of Adelaide and Phoenix at the minute for that fourth spot. I'm seeing good tendencies from Adelaide now.
I loved what Jerome did last night, but we'll come to that at the, on Monday night, and we'll come to that when we get to there. Melbourne United in a, how do I call this the proper way, in what was probably a foul, I thought it was, but a tough decision for Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. A foul's a foul, and it should be called, but you always feel, you know, 50% of people will hate it, 50% of people will love it, but a good win by United and Mello Trimble. 0 points at halftime, 22 in the second half.
Yeah, he's my player of the week for that performance because at my website, you know, to pick the player of the week, if you've had a match-winning performance or you've shot the match-winning basket, that's going to be pretty hard to top the player of the week. And particularly that second set of free throws when the scores were tied at 95 apiece and there was 1.8 showing on the clock and it got changed to 2.1 seconds. So he's gone to the foul line. He's made the first free throw. He's deliberately missed the second one. So they've got time to grab the rebound and just basically hurl it. That was a smart play. You know, and it's an unselfish play because, you know, Brad, you're conscious of your own stats. You want to make all your free throws. So when you miss one deliberately for the team to win, that says a lot about you.
And I got to say, when he shot that free throw, he shot it really high so it hit the ring. Now, that is not easy to do. To actually miss a free throw intentionally is not actually easy to do. I've seen so many people, they throw the ball hard and it goes bang, straight in off the backboard and in. So it's a really tough one to do. So it was excellent. Brisbane Bullets, buddy. Mate, you and I both said it. We thought Cairns would win this game. We were right. And I don't know. Again, they're just one of those teams. Like, I don't want to put them in the breaker situation because that's just a train wreck. But with the Bullets, it was just one of those games where you're like, Cairns, man, they played well.
Yeah, let's take nothing away from Cairns, because on the games where they actually do show up and put their best foot forward, they're really impressive. And they were really impressive in this one. This was a go to woe. And to talk about woe, Brisbane has its woes. I know you said on this program a couple of weeks ago that Andre Lemanis has come out and said he's getting what he wants from his imports. Well, if this is all he wants from his imports and he doesn't want to participate in the postseason, you know, you've got Lamar Patterson and then you've got two guys that are duplicating the same stuff, and that team is not going anywhere.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more with you. And well done to Cairns. Like you said, let's not take anything away from them. I thought, is it Kiat? Is that how you say it? Noi? Sorry, how do you pronounce it?
Kuat Noi, I think.
Yeah, Kuat Noi. I thought he was brilliant. He was brilliant. And just, you know, 20 and 10, the way he played, they just had no answer. And well done, because I'm just a massive Mike Kelly fan. I just love the way he coaches his team, you know, with what he's got. So then we move over to Sunday. And, of course, we've spoken about it. 17,500 people for the Sydney Kings. Look, Illawarra did a great job. I thought they played well on both ends of the floor. Defensively, they junked it up. They handled the on-ball well. But the Sydney Kings' depth just showed through. 92-87 was probably a bit flattering, because to me, the Kings never looked like they were going to lose it. But Illawarra kept hanging around.
I thought, I agree with you completely. I thought LaMelo Ball, when he got that technical foul in the third quarter, he was having a brilliant third quarter. He'd let him back in. He had 11 personal points, which is probably his best single quarter anywhere. And he dished a couple of great assists. And then he flung himself on the floor on a three-point miss. And because there's no contact, right, he doesn't get a flop warning. Because there was zero contact, he gets a tech foul. And that's his second tech foul. He's out of the game. I'm mixing that up. That was his fourth foul. He's out of the game. And that's a time when they needed him in the game. He was really in the flow. He was really playing well. And it's a shame that he did that. I mean, if there'd been contact, he would have got a warning. But because there was no contact on the play and he's just hit the floor, well, that's an automatic tee. And that hurt him when that happened.
It did. And I think that's a good point you make, because I know a lot of people, I was at the game commentating, and a lot of people said to me, why is that an automatic tech? Like, they didn't get a warning. And I think that's the point you made, and that's important to make it, was you don't necessarily have to have a warning. If something is as obvious as that, where he was not even touched, they showed the replay a number of times, it's the right call, and that's a good call. And I thought he played brilliantly. The only thing I will say is you saw the 18-year-old him at the end of the game. They had a chance to be able to, you know, close that game out, even though they weren't up, probably bad words using close. They had a chance to potentially win that game is probably the better words. And there was four shots. They didn't run out of bounds. They did have a timeout where they ran a really nice out of bounds play and got a three, but that's the sort of thing that they didn't do. Him going out didn't help. I know Todd Blanchfield, who I thought played brilliantly, he got cramps in his calf, so that didn't help. So things were against them, but they had a chance to win that game and they didn't close it out well enough, yet again missing an import like an Aaron Brooks, who's gone for the season, but they could have used someone
else. But I've got to say, I didn't like Illawarra at the start of this season. I didn't like the way they were playing. I didn't like the way they were being coached. I didn't like their rotations. In fact, I just didn't like them. But they have come good. Matt seems to have got it where he wants to. I don't take that loss, a five-point loss to the best team in the competition, I don't take that as a really bad setback. They look very good in the way they destroyed Cairns and Cairns the week before. I think they've taken a step. I'm not sure whether they're going to be able to bring themselves into that group that is challenging for fourth spot, whether they've dug themselves too big a hole already. But they're certainly going to make a lot of teams have a miserable night. And I'm looking forward, their next game, they're at home to Cairns. So they should pick up another win. So
yeah, and that's the key, buddy, what you said. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's the key. For me, the jury's still out. And if they can produce the performance over the last two games in the next few games, then I agree with you.
Yes.
But
yes.
Right, that's now, I'd want to see that.
Yeah, that's when you can start to trust.
I'd want to see that.
And trust.
Yeah, I still think they need an import. And we've seen if they get the right import, they could challenge for fourth. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they will get close. But if they get the right import, anything can happen. We see what people go and run. Straight after that game, Perth versus New Zealand. I do want to mention something, though, which I thought was interesting. I heard a little article on Jeremy Lowlinger. He was speaking to Wheatley in Melbourne and a little podcast, and I thought it was a fantastic interview from Jeremy. And apparently over 2 million people watched the Sydney Kings and Perth game. So not only did they watch the Kings game on Facebook, they actually watched the Perth as well game, which I thought was absolutely brilliant and fantastic for them, Perth getting 11 over New Zealand.
Yeah, and close to a 13,000 crowd there as well. So, you know, between the two, they had 30,000 people between the two games. That's fantastic for the NBL through the years. That's in just attendance and then plus what you just said, or the eyes on the league right across the world. It's a fabulous, fabulous thing at the moment.
Yeah, it is. New Zealand, what a train wreck. I mean, it's actually a bit embarrassing. I'm sorry. Like, I'm loving Corey Webster's play. Abercrombie is the ultimate pro. I'm a huge fan of Jared Weeks. I think they play well, but they are a train wreck. And then there was another incident on the way home as well. Bogdanovich, I think it was, something happened there. And I just think to myself, mate, this is just a train wreck. I can't see it getting better.
Maybe they need a coach instead of a director of basketball.
Boom boom from Body, I love it.
Just saying, you know, just saying. But you know, getting back to Illawarra, I hear Glenn Rice might be available soon if you're looking for him.
God, you're a bad man. You're a bad man. Mate, we rounded out the game last night, Adelaide versus Southeast Melbourne. Look, for me, Adelaide, great. They couldn't handle Jerome Randall, especially in that first half. I think for me was Phoenix is they need to play with energy or they won't win games. And they did that at times last night. And when they did it, they could have won the game. They just didn't do it long enough. They need to play for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I thought Jerome was fabulous. That was his best game as a 36er since he's come back to the club. But I also thought there were some other great performances. Anthony Drimmick was very good at both ends of the floor, just made smart decisions. And he hasn't always done that throughout his career, but he was really – his decision-making was excellent. His scoring was good. And then you had Dan Dillon coming off the bench and playing the most he's played this season. I just like the way Joey Wright took some chances. He started Brendan Tees and Obi Kaye. I think his surname's pronounced Shea.
Obi Kaye, actually. Obi Kaye. I'm pretty sure it's Kaye because he's played here in Sydney, but I could be wrong. But I just want to dump in there.
Yep.
What's happening with this rotation? Are you hearing anything? Because that's a big change. And, of course, Ramon Moore, was it injured? We don't know what happened. Have you heard anything?
Yes, but I'm not at liberty to pass it along at this particular point, which is kind of useless. But when you're taking in the confidence, there's a situation with Ramon. It's nothing sinister, okay? And he just wasn't going to be playing in that game last night. And it's up to the club over time to sort of let people know what's happening there. But that wasn't a real issue for him. I think bringing Griffin off the bench certainly helped him as well. And yep. I think most of the energy for the Phoenix was generated by Mitch Creek. And I thought, they didn't have enough people to put their hands up at the right time.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Ben Madgen was good. He shot the ball a lot better than he has been throughout the season, which was always going to come good. His work ethic is too good, and he's too good of a shooter not to. So I do agree it did come for Mitch. But getting back to Ramon Moore, I did feel it was not something bad, and the reason I say that is, mate, they kept showing the camera onto him. He's clapping. He's giving his team five. Like a player doesn't do that. Like if you're not playing and if you're in the coach's bad books, which obviously. If he wasn't playing, that would be the reason. It didn't look that way. So that's good news, and hopefully we can move on with that. Mate, I'll go into round eight. Obviously, we start on Friday. Adelaide, obviously playing last night, only got a few days break. They'll go up to Brisbane now. Toss a coin for this one. Which teams are we going to get? Are we going to get the Adelaide from last night and the Brisbane from the Cairns game, or are we going to get the Brisbane from the few weeks ago and the Adelaide from the Sydney game?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think trust must be our topic today, because I'm at the point where I'm preparing to trust Adelaide a little bit, because in the past I might have called that game that they would beat the Phoenix, you know, because you see, you know, I've said to you before, I see there are nice pieces, but it's not quite coming together yet. And now I think it may be. I thought there were good signs against Perth, there were great signs against Phoenix. This is the one that tells you if they're over the hump and they're on their way now to building an identity that's going to be putting some pressure on for the playoffs. I just don't have any faith in Brisbane at all. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't like the rotations. I don't like the way they play. I'm not enamored. I'm with where I am at with Brisbane, Brad, is where I was with Illawarra at the start of the season. I've changed on Illawarra, but I just don't see it. I don't see the...
I agree with you, but here's something I've noticed with the Bullets and Andre Lemanis coach teams. When you think they're down and out, they come back.
Yes.
That's just something I've noticed about Andre. I think they'll win this game, and that's not against Adelaide, because I thought Adelaide were brilliant last night. I just think Brisbane are one of those teams. They play so poorly, and everyone's like, oh, what are you doing? That then Jason Kadee could come out and have 20, or Sobey will have 30, or, you know, their imports that, you know, are not, you know, producing in everyone's eyes, they'll come out and do what they do. Will Magnay will have 5 blocks. So I think Brisbane will win this, but just purely from history, not because I'm loving what they're doing.
So you're saying that their imports other than Lamar Patterson will come out and do a Keith Benson?
No, they won't get 20, but they'll come out and do better. But look, I don't think their imports are poor. I think their imports could play a role in certain teams. The problem I've got at the moment with that imports is they're just stacked in that area. You know, they've got the best six man in Tarangi and from last year and the most improved. The guy can't get minutes. Cameron Glidden was a boomer 3 months ago and can't get minutes. I just don't see where that fits in. And that's that. Look, everyone's the same. Lemanis has come out and get angry at it. He's the coach. He's a boomer's coach. He's a 3-time championship coach. He supposedly knows what he's doing. I'm not going to disagree with it. I just don't see how that will work, but I do believe they'll win this game.
Yeah, and I can see where your thinking is coming from, and it makes a lot of sense because I've seen that before with Brisbane, as you say. But I think if Adelaide is legit, they've got to win this game. So it'll be interesting.
That's a good point. Phoenix versus Kings. Look, the Kings bubble, will it burst? I don't know. Phoenix didn't play well last night. I'll be interested to see how the Kings face off on this one, because the Phoenix do play a high tempo game, physical as well. And I don't think the Kings have really had that yet this year in that sense for 40 minutes, if Phoenix do that. So for me, I still think the Kings, but it'll be a great game.
And you're going to see the matchup of the two winners of the Best Defensive Player Award with from last season, with Andrew Bogut and Dane Pinot going head to head.
Boom, boom. Actually, no, mate, you're completely wrong. Who's this Andrew Bogut guy? I saw Dane Pinot getting the award. What are you talking about?
I must say, but you know, I've got to say, in watching all the teams this season, I really enjoy watching Sydney play. I like what Will Weaver's doing.
Oh, mate, can you repeat that? I've never heard that. Jesus, do you want to say that? I've got to write that down.
Please do. Look at the tape, whatever time it was, 25 minutes in, I made a statement. First time, it is the first time ever that I've really enjoyed watching how they execute, how they play. I mean, you're getting the best out of Brad Newley most of the time now. You know, he's back to the well. Just at the time where, you know, you're looking at him last season, you're thinking maybe he's past the top of the hill and is heading down the other side. And then he's given us what he's given us this season. I mean, Casper Ware, I could watch him anytime. Bogut, I watch all the time. So, and the other team that I really enjoy watching is Phoenix, because of the high energy, the love, the joy, the passion that they bring. So I'm really, really looking forward to this game, but I can't go past the Kings.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, here's one that, number one, is Tarico White going to play? We're talking Cairns versus Perth in Cairns. I'm going for a big upset, and I think Cairns can topple this one.
Okay, I thought you were going for a big upset and going to pick Perth. As I recall, Cairns passed them by 23 in Perth.
That's true.
And they're coming off a fairly... impressive victory over Brisbane. So, yeah, this would be a good game, and it's worthwhile taking a punt on Cairns. Absolutely, I'm sure the odds on the betting odds will give you a good return on Cairns. But I'm still inclined to lean toward Perth. I think they have to show that was an aberration. Cairns has to show that's run of the mill. So again, you've got another interesting scenario, but yeah, I'm going to go with Perth.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of high odds, Brisbane Bullets to beat Melbourne in Melbourne. Not a chance for me. Melbourne United to go on their merry way and win again.
Yeah, I think you were too generous to Brisbane.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Let's move straight on to the next one. Adelaide at home versus the New Zealand Breakers. Nothing but an Adelaide win for me. Cannot see anything but this train wreck of New Zealand continuing.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't see how they can fix the way they're going at the moment. And now Rice is out. I think they're done.
Yeah, I agree. Illawarra, we spoke about this Monday, Illawarra versus Cairns. I agree with you. I think Illawarra will get this game. But Cairns will be, one right there. I think the thing that helps Illawarra is they played in Sydney the other day. They've only just had to travel, 45 minutes down the highway. Cairns, fair bit of travel coming, playing Perth, a couple of nights earlier. Yep. I think an Illawarra win here.
Yep, all the signs point to a little war of victory. So, yeah, got to go with that.
Yeah, I agree. Boddy, I just want to have a quick chat with you about something that I wanted to go back to this Jeremy Lowlinger situation, because I really employ anyone to listen to this podcast, because it was absolutely brilliant and it's something I felt we should discuss. It's Waitley from SEN. It is a podcast that it was talking to. I don't know if you had a chance to hear Jeremy speak on it, but it's a podcast that I suggest everyone have a listen to, because I was just spellbound by listening to it. And the way he talks about the next stars, that's the one that got me, where they know they got goal when they got LaMelo Ball, but now they've got these other teams and other players coming in. And one of the ones he pointed out, he said, we've actually had shoe companies come and talk to us to see if we're legit. And I just love that.
Here it comes, Nudge's Nasty. Yeah, my nasties this week is referee accountability. I think Scott Butler, unless you've heard differently, he's still in charge of the referees. And, I'm just disappointed with the end of the Phoenix-Melbourne game last round. I think when Keith Benson threw down his dunk that tied it at 95-all, he was definitely fouled by David Barlow. Should have got an and one, no call. Go down the other end, and Mello trembled. Drives on Adam Gibson. Adam Gibson is trying to pull he's got his arms back and he's trying to get out of the way and not make contact. They still call the foul. It's an unnecessary call. We could have gone to overtime. I just can't handle that kind of officiating. And then what I've got to say, though, hats off, though, to Simon Mitchell, coach of the Phoenix. He gets into the press conference and he doesn't bitch and moan about it at all. In fact, says it's got nothing to do with it. You've got to win between the lines. It's got nothing to do with the referees. Hats off to him. But, geez, I'd like to see some referee accountability. Uh-oh. Rosen's rattler.
Well, my rattler is Noyan Cairns. I just cannot go past him. I thought he was absolutely brilliant for Cairns. 20-10. This guy is a rookie. He came out and had some words a couple of weeks ago saying, I can do this and I can do that. And he didn't have a great game, but then he backed it up brilliantly and helped them to get a win. Look, I'm very impressed with this guy. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think it was NBL Facts that came up with the stat that he had 20 points, 10 rebounds and 5 assists, five three-pointers. Nobody who's had 10 rebounds has had 5 three-pointers this season or last season. So he's got a little bit of history he's made. The young man can play of that, there's no doubt. And I like the fact that he has absolute self-confidence. I don't have a problem with that.
Boddy, your website, BOTINAGY.com. I'll be commentating as well. Boddy, what you got this week in the blog?
Oh, we've got a few players of the week, and we've done the rankings for the NBL and WNBL. Now that they're back in action after their recess, that they usually cause a little bit of interest among the fans. So hopefully that'll be the case again tomorrow.
Greatest writer in the game. Great to have you. Thank you so much again, and love reading your posts. Thanks, Boddy, everyone. We'll see you next week, and thanks for joining us on the Brad and Boddy podcast.